All right, let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just loving us, Lord, and giving us purpose, Lord. I do thank you for just calling us out as the church to follow you, Lord. I thank you for just the what Lauren was talking about in that presentation, Lord. And it wasn't just facts and things, but it's really what you've been doing in the world since the book of Genesis and what you're still doing even today. So I pray that those things did, you know, at least resonate with what's going on. And, you know, some of the things she's saying, well, I think I've heard that before. Because you have. If you turn the news on, you hear those things. So I pray that we would always realize that you do have a place for Israel. And so we as the church need to support that. We need to come alongside of that. So Lord, I pray you just speak to us today. Lord, that you would just out of the Bible, just show us what you have for us as far as bearing fruit is concerned, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray you would just be used. Put me out of the way. I don't really have anything to say, Lord, but your word does. So we pray for those in the body that are hurting. We pray for Randy and Julie as Randy's starting chemo this week. And, Lord, we just do pray for really everybody that's got things going on that we as a body would just come alongside them and help them out. So I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15. And so what happens in John chapter 15? You guys are Bible scholars. So what is John chapter 15? He talks about abiding in the vine, right? Being abiding in the vine. And so the book of John is really interesting. Just a fun fact if you like this kind of thing. John chapter 15 is one of only three chapters in the Bible where the entire chapter is Jesus speaking. There's a couple of them in Matthew, and this is the only other one. Everything else has something else in it, but this entire chapter is the words of Christ, right? And I know that because they're red. No, but so Jesus is in the middle of basically teaching, and he's teaching his followers at this point, right? He's not so much teaching the Pharisees and the Sadducees or anything like that. At this point, he has changed focus. He's getting ready to go to the garden, right, and pray because he's getting ready to be betrayed. And we know how that all plays out because we've just read through it as a class. But he's talking to his followers. So you got to know who he's talking to. And so he's talking about the true vine and how we need to abide in the vine and how we need to... what grows on the vine? Right? Who cares if you have a vine, right? What are we, like George of the Jungle swinging around? No. Fruit grows on the vine, right? And so you might say, well, yeah, grapes do. Well, that's true, fruit. But really, a tree is just it's a thick vine. That's all it is. It is just basically a vine is a way that life is transferred, right? Water from the ground is transferred to the leaves so fruit can grow. And without the vine, it can't happen. And so that's what he's getting at here as we talk about this. So here's, I got nine examples, and they're real quick. I don't have a whole lot to go with them, right? Because it's just right here out of the text, right? But I've got nine examples to follow to bear good fruit. Because at the end of the day, we can all bear fruit, right? How often do we hear, you know, anybody can be a father, but it takes a man to be a dad, right? Or something along those lines. You know, anybody can bear fruit if we're talking about physically. But spiritually, I want to bear good fruit. I don't want to just bear fruit. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want my fruit to be something that nobody wants, that it's not desirable. I want my fruit to be something that God desires to have. And that's what we need to have. So here's nine examples just right out of this passage right here to follow to bear good fruit. And so let's just get into this. So this is right in the middle of this big presentation that Jesus has given to his followers. And he says in verse 1 in John chapter 15, he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. What does that mean? What does husbandman mean? When you read that in the Bible, what are you thinking of? Come on.
Farmer. Gardener.
Gardener? You said something. A gardener, right? I looked it up because I think the same thing. I'm like somebody who grows something, right? It really is. If you look up the definition, it is simply a farmer. Right? So now every time we see Doug, he is the husbandman, right? He's the husbandman of the class. And honestly, he's mine. Honestly, the definition, as I was looking into this morning, it has nothing to do with marriage at all. It is actually a husbandman, and this doesn't reference Doug, but I just know that Doug's a farmer, right? But that they are actually very low class, some of the lowest of the low, but that they're just simply farmers. They just grow things, right? And so that's what it is. So he's talking about a husbandman. That's what it says. So he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Well, that's interesting. So God the Father is just simply a farmer, right? He's just growing things up. I think that's kind of cool. When you just dumb things down, when you just simplify them, like, okay, I can understand that, right? There's a lot of things you can learn from that. But anyway, moving on. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So he's talking, he starts this illustration of the vine, right? And so he says, hey, here's something to know. My Father, God the Father, who is in heaven, because at the time Jesus is on earth, he is God, but they're still ain't got that thing completely figured out, right? He's just, he's a really good dude. Even the disciples are like, we know you're the Christ, but we don't even know really what that means. And so God the Father is still preeminent. And so they're like, hey, he says, I'm the vine, but he's the husbandman. He's what causes anything to grow. And he really quickly, he gives this warning and he says, hey, if you're not bearing fruit, he's going to cut you down. If you're not doing what you need to do, he's going to cut you down. Yes, sir.
Did Jesus have branches that weren't bearing fruit?
Judas.
Okay. I mean, that was one of the 12 disciples. I mean, but he's talking to more than just the 12 at this point.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people following. Now, obviously, he's got the inner 12, in which even of the inner 12, one of them betrays him, which is a really good picture of spiritual growth, because a lot of times we think, well, that person, just they're never going to get it. Well, guess what? Jesus knew in the end, completely side note, but Jesus knew in the end that Judas was going to betray him, and he still washed his feet, right? He still ordained him and sent him. Why would he do that? Because he still gets the glory for it, even when somebody goes completely rogue and completely jacks up, right? Ordains him and does all those things. So don't ever give up hope on somebody, because there's always, you know, Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. But yeah, so he says, if you're not bearing fruit, dad's going to cut you off, really is what he's saying. You're not going to have anything going on. And then he goes on to say, and if you're bearing fruit, he's going to cut you back a little bit. And you're like, what does that mean? Well, I'm not very good at growing things. I usually let Paige take care of that kind of thing, you know, in the garden. But I think, like with shrubs and stuff, when they start growing good, you're supposed to cut them back, like in the fall, so they grow better the next year. And I'm like, why would you cut the good stuff off? That's why I can't grow anything. But that's the picture of what's going on. You have to clip it back so there can be more life. But that's what he's saying. He says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Think about that in your life. So you're doing a good job, you're in the ministry, you're getting along, and you're doing what you need to do. Don't be surprised when every now and then God cuts you back a little bit so you can regroup and bear more fruit in a different way. Right? So don't get so stuck in what you're doing, because if that's all you got, that's the only life you're going to have. So sometimes God's going to have to cut it back a little bit. So here's your first thing, your first example to follow to bear good fruit. You got to be clean through the Word. You got to be clean through the Word. In verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. You want to bear fruit as a modern day Christian disciple, whatever you want to call yourself, right? Jesus, get her done her. I don't know what you want, what your title you want. The first thing you need to do is to be clean through the Word. Well, what does that mean? It means you're not going to bear fruit if you're not in this book. I'll be completely black and white with you, right? If you're not in the book, if you're not spending time in the Word, if you're not reading, hearing what God's got to say, and if the only thing that you're getting is from me or from Brian, you're not going to bear fruit. Well, that's kind of harsh. Well, it kind of is, because I don't know how many times I bring it up, I show you, Brian shows you, the Word shows you. If you're not in this book, you have no life. Well, I have eternal life. You're right, you do. But you're not growing. You're not growing in Christ. You have to be in the book, right? You've got to be clean through the Word. You're not. God's not going to allow you to bear fruit if you're out there living like hell, right? Your lifestyle is quote-unquote dirty, right? It says to be clean through the Word. The only way you can do that is to be in the Word. Like, I don't know any other way to say it, right? So the first thing, you want to bear fruit? Be in the stinking Word of God. I don't know how, I mean, that's what it says, right? Be in the Word. Be clean through the Word. Now, I'm not jumping on anybody's case. It's like, man, I've been struggling with my reading. Okay. So don't struggle. Prioritize your time. Right? I get in grooves like this, right? I get so busy with other things going on in life, and it's like, I'll get to my reading when I get to it. And the next thing I know, it's been a couple days. It's like, okay, well, something's out of whack here. Okay, well, This is one of those I'm not saying, I'm just saying moments, right? You make time. You make time for the things that are important to you. You want your wife to feel like she's loved? Sometimes you got to take her on a date. Right? You want your kids to feel like they're important? You spend time with them. Right? You, whatever it is that's important to you, you make time for it. You're exhausted, what do? You make time for sleep. I'm just saying, right? I'm looking at Chris because he worked 13 hours last night. He's going to make some time for sleep this afternoon, I bet. Right? And so, hey, I know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, if it's a priority, you'll make it a priority. Right? And it just is, it is what it is, guys. It is what it is. We're all busy. Right? I can lead the I'm busy train. Or anybody else can. Right? We're all busy. God's Word has to be important enough to get in it. I mean, I'm sorry if I step on your toes. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. Moving on, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. So he's talking about abide and in me and I in you. And what's he talking about? He's basically saying, you want to bear fruit in your life? You got to do it through me. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Jesus himself. He says, you're not going to do enough good things. You're not going to be a good enough person. You're not an eloquent enough speaker. You're not a good looking enough whatever to do anything on your own. It has to come through Christ. You want an apple off the tree? It doesn't get water when it rains. It gets water after it rains and it comes up through the vine. Right? It doesn't matter how much you pick an apple or you pick some grapes and you throw them on the table right here, right? I'm like, I need these things to grow. I'm going to spray them with water. They're going to die in a couple days because that's what happens. There is no vine. Right? That's what he's saying. Without the vine, he is the true vine. You know, you're supposed to be following the picture here. Without the vine, you can't do anything. You can try really hard. But you can be like, man, I really want you to grow. And I'll spend a bunch of time with you. It doesn't matter, right? You can want a whole bunch. You know, there's a saying, you know, you can want in one hand and, well, I'm not going to finish that, but, you know, yeah, whatever. I can tell you which one's going to, we're going to, you know. Hey, he says, you're not going to do anything unless it's through him. That's the way it is, right? Here's your second one. Your example, right? Here's your second example to follow to bear good fruit. Abide in the true vine. Well, what does that mean? That means get saved, which I'm preaching to the choir, right? Get saved, and if you're saved, be sanctified. Live a sanctified life. Stop walking around like a Christian who's like, yeah, I want to serve God, but I really want to serve myself more. Come on now. Get saved. God's got two plans for your life, right? He's got a lot of different plans for your life. He has two wills for your life. If you're lost, to get saved. If you're saved, to be sanctified. Well, what about... Yep, that's all there is to it, right? Now, his plan for you might be a whole lot different, right, than it is for me, or for Phil, or for Chris, or for whoever, right? The will is the same. If you're lost, get saved. If you're saved, live sanctified. You can't do that if you're not abiding in the vine. You know, that's just the whole point. And that's what he's saying. Without the vine, you can't live. So what I'm saying is, if you ain't got Christ, you can't live. You're walking around like a dead man. Right? And so you're like, okay, yeah, I'm saved. Okay, well, if you're not living sanctified, you might as well be walking around like a dead man. Because you're not doing anybody any good walking around claiming Christ and living like hell. You're not. That's what the Bible says. He says, without the vine, you can't live. Jesus is the vine. I've told you that before. Right? So without him, you can't really live. And you're like, well, I'm living. No, you're not. Right? You think you are, but everybody else can see right through it. Everybody else can see right through it. Sorry, verse 6 goes with that. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and are cast into the fire, and they are burned, right? It goes right along with what I'm saying. If you ain't saved, you're going to burn. And if you're saved and you're not living a sanctified life, that goes in the category of what? Wood, hay, and stubble. And those things are going to burn. God says when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ as a saved person, there are going to be two piles. There are going to be things that are going to burn, and there's going to be eternal things. Right? What are the eternal things? The Word of God and the souls of men. The rest of it is just junk. Well, I made a lot of money, right? I had a nice, happy family. I had a nice house. I served in the church. And he says two things are eternal. The Word of God and the souls of men. The things that you do through the Word of God and the people that are saved, the souls of men, the lives that you change. The rest of it's all junk, guys. Now, I'm not saying that you can't go to work. You got to, because you got to have a place to live. But all those things, you got to prioritize, not balance. You have to prioritize. Don't get me started on the whole balance thing, because a balance is a bunch of, it's a load of you know what. Balance is not anything. It's priorities. You prioritize. God tells you the way things are supposed to be prioritized. So stop telling me we need to balance them, because we don't. We need to prioritize. Moving on. She's not bothering me. She's talking to me. That's all good. Moving on, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me, he's still sticking with his abide thing. There must be something to it. If you abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. That's verse 6. Let's move to verse 7. Once again, he says, if a man abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and you shall be, and it shall be done unto you. Here's the next example to follow to bear good. You want to bear good fruit? Here's another example. Pray with confidence. Right? He says, if you've got the word, right? That's what gives you the confidence. You got to kind of look at this thing from the back, moving, you know, from the end, moving backwards, right? He says that if you want to, let me just go back to the verse, right? You want these things done unto you. Well, then what do you got to do? You got to ask, right? And so, okay, well, how do you ask God? Well, that's called prayer. Not going to spend a lot of time there because I think we talked about that before. So that's called prayer. And then before that, he says, and my words abide in you. If you've got God's word in you, what are you praying? God's will, not yours. If you have got God's word in you, you know what you're praying? It's not for a big house, right? It's not for a good job. You know what you're praying for? It's for souls to be saved, for God's mission to get accomplished, right? You want your prayers to get answered? At the end of the verse, we'll back into it. It says you need to pray, and you know how you need to pray? You need to know His word. And when you know His word, you know what you're praying? You're praying godly things. Now, does that mean, well, I can't pray for, you know, my family to be safe? No, those are great things to pray for. But I'm telling you, when you pray the Word of God back to Him, it makes your prayer life, it's like a whole new ball game, right? We're not Little League anymore. We're playing under the lights now, right? It's the real deal. I'm telling you, it's the real deal. Pray with confidence. That's what I mean with confidence. A lot of times we pray and we come to God and we're all timid and we're like, God, hey, you know, if you're not busy, I know I've not been doing a lot of good things, but you know, I know you got a lot of things going on. People got cancer and you know, the world's, you know, but you know, we're just real timid with the way we pray and we're like, I don't really know. And well, but could you bless my family? And you know what Hebrews says? Hebrews 4:11, I think. 4:15, right? It says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Right? That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because it doesn't say come cocky. It says come boldly. Because sometimes we confuse that. It says come boldly. You know why I know I can come boldly to the throne of grace? Because He died and bled for me. And if I was important enough to do that, then I'm important enough for Him to hear what's going on in my life. 4:16. I knew where it was at. I just didn't know where it was at. So, right? Come boldly to the throne of grace. That's how you need to come to God. Like, hey, God, I've been an idiot. And I want to repent of that stuff because I don't want to do it anymore. But hey, there's something that's like really burdening my heart right now. You know, I got a brother who's got cancer, and I really want to see you just heal this guy, because the mission of God gets accomplished when He's here, right? Instead of, God, I just don't know, I don't really know what to do, or I don't know how to. And the Bible says we don't know how we ought to pray, you know. But it does say we can pray boldly. You know, and so I'm not going to come timid. And it's not because I'm arrogant or cocky about it. It's because the Bible says I can be bold about it. If you were important enough to God, to Jesus Christ Himself, to say, you know what, the rest of the world could have been perfect and I still would have died on the cross for you, right? Because He would have. If you're that important, then you're probably important enough for Him to hear even now. So that's what I mean when I say pray with confidence. Stop being timid about what you're saying, and you know what? Be serious about it. Because God knows when you're not serious about it. Moving on. Verse 8. He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." So once again, let's look at this verse kind of backwards. He's like, okay, so you're my disciples, right? And you want to bear much fruit. Well, if you do that, then my Father's going to be glorified. Here's your next example to follow if you want to bear good fruit. Bearing fruit is the best way to glorify God. That's just an example to you, right? Well, I did a lot of good things, right? I helped the old lady cross the street, and I served at the food pantry, and I filled up a shoebox, and those are all good things, guys. All great things. You know the best way to glorify God? Bear fruit. Right? And, you know, not to knock on Brady, I'm talking about physical fruit, right? Two for one over there. I'm talking about spiritual fruit. I'm just giving him a hard time because I'm excited, right? God is doing something in their life, and we as a class are excited about it. So, and really, because here in a couple months I can't say things like that because it's going to get real. But no, what he's talking about here is spiritual fruit. And you know why else I can say things like that? Because he's not just bearing physical fruit. There's spiritual fruit in his life too, right? So anyway, but you want to glorify God? Like, yeah, that's just really want to glorify God. I want God to be pleased. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when I stand in front of him, right? Okay, bear fruit. Well, isn't there other? No, just bear fruit. Well, am I not supposed to be? Yeah, come to church. For what? Well, to get equipped so you can go and bear fruit. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's not a coincidence that God gave Adam one command. We look at it and it's only physical in our minds, right? Because that's how we are. Get your mind out of the gutter. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, yes, there needs to be some physical multiplication or Adam's going to get old. But there's another meaning to that. Bear some spiritual fruit. If you're not out sharing the gospel, if you're not out there telling people what's going on in your life, guess what? The church is going to die. And more importantly, Christianity is going to die. It has nothing to do with the church. Right? He tells Noah the same thing. He said, "Get off the ark." Right? You know, "I won't flood the earth anymore. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth." Now, I'm not a Bible scholar by any means, but I have learned that when God says things multiple times, He means it. Especially when it's like spanning over time. Like when He says it here and then years go by and He says it again, I'm like, huh, that must have been important because He remembered that. Maybe I ought to remember that. You want to glorify God? Yeah. Right? I can go ask the kids. We're going to teach little lambs next. Right? You want to glorify God? Yeah. Bear fruit. Hey, you got grapes? Right? I know how this goes. That's as simple as it gets, guys. You want to bear fruit? You want to glorify God? Bear fruit. Moving on. Verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." So now he's like switching gears. He's like, okay, the abide thing is every other word's not abide. Now he's kind of switched gears a little bit. And he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So I'm passing it on. Continue ye in my love. So it's, you know, kind of like one of them, oh, so do as you did to me. Oh, okay. Verse 10. "And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So there's the abide word again. But now he's talking about abiding in love. What's that talking about? He says, hey, if you keep my commandments, you can abide in love. Here's your next example. Abide in God's love. You're not going to abide in God's love if what? You're not keeping his commandments. Says it right there. Can't make it any more plain and simple. You wanna glorify God? You want to abide in it? He's like, yeah, I want. Give me some of that God's love, right? I'll take a double portion. Okay. Keep his commandments. That's what he says. Well, what do you mean? Well, didn't Jesus do that? Because he's using the example, I'm taking God's love on me, and I'm going to pour my love on you, and you're going to pour it on other people. Yeah, this is like a big, you know, happy love fest. Okay, well, he's taking God's commandments, and he's doing them, even unto the cross. And so yeah, he's pouring that onto you. Okay, now it's time for you to take those commandments and pass them on. Right? And if you're not doing it, then you're not abiding in his love. This isn't a one-way street here, right? There's enough men here that can testify, right? This marriage love thing, it's not a one-way street, right? If you're not loving your wife like you ought to, right? Things don't line up. it's not a one-way street, right? Marriage is a really good example. You can use it in a plethora of different ways, right? Guess what? If you don't spend time and abide and love your wife, then guess what's not going to happen, right? Things aren't great, right? So that's what he's saying. Keep my commandments. You want to abide in my love? Keep my commandments. Moving on, verse 11. Got to get done. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you might that joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So why is he talking about joy now, right? Why do I got to be happy all the time? I'm just not a happy person. Okay, well, guess what? He says that if you got God living in you, you ought to have the joy of the Lord, right? Read the book of Psalms. If you're like, man, I'm just not excited about my life. Right? I love that, right? Excited about your life? Brian Clark, I love that guy. You know, you get off a plane, you've been on a plane for however many hours, you're all jet lagged, Paige's got the flu, he comes walking up, "Hey, you excited about your life?" Not right this second, right? Read the book of Psalms, you'll be excited about your life, right? I'm not even going to give you one verse to look at, because read the book of Psalms. God will allow you to be excited about your life, because He's excited about your life. Right? Here's your next one. Be full of God's joy. Now, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but it seems like that's what I do, so, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Literally.
Yeah, whatever. I stepped on Paige's foot this morning. So, anyway. So,
I'm sorry.
You totally lost my train of thought. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but you're like, yeah, I'm bringing God glory, but I'm just not happy about it. You're not bringing God glory. Well, I'm bearing fruit, but I'm just not happy. You're not bringing God glory. Right? You ought to have the joy of the Lord. And I'm not saying that we ought to walk around with a smile on our face all the time, but at the end of the day, the joy of the Lord is different than being happy. Right? The joy of the Lord is a state of being. Happiness is an emotion. Now, I don't know, some of you are like, I don't really get that. Well, I don't really know any other way to say it.
Happiness is circumstantial.
I mean, it really is, right? Happiness is circumstantial. Here's a way I can say it, right? Look at Randy and Julie Foster right now. Not a great circumstance, is it? Not a great prognosis, everything about it. Right? Things could have went differently. But God didn't have them go differently. So does that mean that they're depressed? Well, not like completely outwardly, but I'm sure they're not, you know, just loving life at this very second. But you know what they are? I guarantee the joy of the Lord is in them. Right? And so that's an example of what I'm talking about. Your circumstances don't have to be all peachy for you to have the joy of the Lord. But he says, if you want to bear good fruit, what's he say? Be full of God's joy. Right? Be full of God's joy. You're like, well, that's hard to do. You're right, it is. I didn't say this was going to be easy. Right? But it doesn't mean don't do it. Come on now. I mean, I think at times, I don't mean you guys, but I think at times, quote-unquote Christians, we'll just say that because, you know, you do fall in that category, but I'm not talking to you. Quote-unquote Christians, they think that it ought to be easier than it is. You know, it ought to be a little bit easier. You know, we got God on our side. Why is it so hard? Because it is. Because it's a real battle. Because it's not just words in a book, but there's something really going on. That's why. Because it's for real, and he wants to see how you're going to react to it. He wants to see if you're really going to bring him glory in the hard times and not just in the good times. Moving on. Okay, verse number 7. Okay. I was like, well, I got a lot left here, but it's all in the last point. Okay. Verse 12. This is my commandment. I'm like, didn't you just give me a whole bunch of commandments? He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's kind of like what Mom used to tell me all the time, right? Right? Love them like I love you. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's like, hey, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Okay, step out in front of a bus for me. Well, I like you.
There were buses back then.
Do you love me, man? Yeah, I'll do anything for you. Yeah. I got somewhere to be, right? We got friends, right? We got this big old long. Get on Facebook, right? You find out how many friends you really got. No, right? You got friends, and then you've also got friends that you know that it doesn't matter what time of day it is, it doesn't matter how busy you are or how busy they are or what's going on, I know that if I call this, and it's like less than I can count on this hand, this many people, that it doesn't matter what's going on, how stupid I've been, or what kind of situation I'm in, those people will come. And they'll be there. And they'll help me get back on track, right? And you might be like, well, that list is really short for me. Well, praise God that you got a list, right? Because there's somebody. I'm saying, you know, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what he's talking about. Those few people that you'll just do anything for. Right? And you might be like, well, I don't really have the people that I would do that for. That list is not very long. Well, maybe you need to work on that love thing. The verse before, you know, he says, hey, God loves me and I'm loving you and you need to love people, right? That's what he's saying. We need to pick up on that. Here's your next one. Example of how to bear good fruit. Not just fruit, but good fruit. Love like Jesus did. Right? Love like Jesus did. Well, what was that like? Well, we'll see. He died on the cross for you. No, he died on the cross for the world. No. No, see, that's where religion got in the way. He died. He carried that cross. Nails through his hands. Nails through his feet. Suffered for you. No, it was for the whole world. No, it was for you. Because guess what? If the rest of the world would have been perfect, if the rest of the world, from the time that that happened up until 2019, if the rest of the world could have lived the perfect life and they were righteous, he still would have said, you know what? For some reason, in 2008, there's this idiot stick named Jason. He just doesn't get it. The rest, everybody else has got it, but this guy just doesn't get it. And he still went to the cross and died for me. Yes, it's great to say that he died for the, you know, he died for the world, because he did. But he also would have done it if it was only you. That's the kind of love he's talking about. Right? And so you're like, well, I've got a short list of people that I would do that for. Okay, well, what he's saying is, for the person that you dislike the most, that's who you need to die for. Well, okay, well, I'm just telling you what it says. Right? I'm just telling you what it says. Moving on. You've got to love like Jesus did. Verse 14. Yea, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this one because it seems like this is always what I'm talking about. Here's another example to follow to bear good fruit. Just obey. Just obey. Obey what? Yes, that's the answer. Obey who? Yep, that's the answer. Man, obedience, people are like, man, this generation, this world we live in is jacked up, and I can tell you why. Well, so can I. Lack of obedience. To what? Yep. Oh, just obey, right? I don't understand why my kids are like that. It's because they don't obey. Well, I train them. Well, are you obeying God? Because monkey see, monkey do, right? Just saying. Now, I'm not saying that you guys are doing a bad job with your kids. You guys are all doing a great job with your kids. I just mean in general, the world's going to the place it's going because we don't obey. Right? And your kids learn from watching you. Just saying. That's how it works. All right, let's wrap it up. Last one. Just obey. Verse 15. It says, henceforth, that's a good King James English right there. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Right? I'm not calling you a servant. You're my friend. But I call you friends. For I called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know why you're my friend? Because I've told you everything I know. I'm investing in you. Right? Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you, including Judas, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whosoever shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He wraps up the whole thing, and he's like, hey, everything that I just said, it can be boiled down. Now, it doesn't mean like throw your notes away, right? But it can be boiled down to, and just love people like I do. Because if you're loving people like Jesus did, you're going to have all that stuff going on. Right? Here's your last one. Here's your last example to follow to bear good fruit. Be a part of God's 7-step growth progression. And I'll give them to you really quick. And it could be longer, it could be shorter, but in this passage right here, seven steps, right? You want an example to follow to bear good fruit? Be a part of God's seven-step progression plan. And I'll tell you what it is, right? He starts in verse 15 and he says, "Henceforth I call you not servants," right? That's the first step in this progression, right? You're a servant. A servant to what? I ain't a servant to nothing. You're a servant to sin if you're lost. You're like, "No, I've got all kinds of freedom." No, you don't. Try to live one day righteous. You can't, because you're a sinner. Right? You're born that way. No, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I do know what I'm talking about. A lost man can't live one day without sinning. You're a slave to it. Absolutely a slave to it. Right? So you start as a servant, right? Then what happens? Move on. He says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, right? What's the next thing that happens in this growth progression? Jesus calls you friend. You know, Casting Crowns has that song, and sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. It just depends on what mood I'm in, right? But Jesus, friend of sinners, right? And it's like, I get the premise of it, but, you know, there's something that happens after salvation as well. But yes, when you're lost, he is simply a friend of sinners, right? Once you get saved, you are God's friend. That's a good way to put it, right? So the first step, you're lost. The second step, you're saved. He calls you friend, right? Moving on, he says, "For all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And the next step is you're chosen. So you're a servant, then you're a friend. The next thing you are is you're chosen. Well, chosen for what? Yep. Right? Yep. Ministry, what's that? Yep. Well, kids, what are... Yep. Right, you're chosen. God doesn't allow... You don't just stumble into those things. You're chosen for those things. Discipleship, what's that? Yep. Well, I finally signed up for discipleship. That's because somebody's been praying for you. Right? You're welcome. You're welcome. You're chosen. You're a servant. You're a friend. Then you're chosen. Then what happens, right? You're chosen for the ministry. Then what happens? You're chosen. Moving on. Let's find out. Find out where I'm at. So, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you." Next thing you are, you're ordained. Well, I don't plan on getting ordained. Well, guess what? You're enlisted. You're ordained. You might say, "Well, I'm not an ordained pastor." Well, guess what? You're an ordained follower of God. And so those rules do apply. Right? Those rules do apply. You're a servant to sin. You're a friend of Christ. Right? You're chosen to the ministry. You're ordained to the work. What happens after that? Well, now you're getting serious, and I'm not all about all that, so I'm going to stop there. Well, I'm going to keep going anyway. You're ordained, then what's he say? He says, "I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." You're sent, right? You go, right? So you're ordained and you're sent. You might be like, "Well, I'm not going anywhere." Well, guess what? Maybe you're sent to those kids you got at home. Maybe you're sent to the spouse that you got that's not saved. Maybe you're sent to the workplace that you go to every day. You might be like, "Well, I'm not a missionary." Well, guess what? Yeah, you are. You're a missionary to whoever it is that you are investing in every day. Right? My wife has three kids that she invests in every single day, and a husband that just can't get right. Right? And so, whatever it is, you are sent. You know? You're a servant to send. You're a friend of God. You're chosen to the ministry. You're ordained to the work. You're sent. Right? What happens after that? Well, after you're sent, what happens? Well, you better hope this happens. He says that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Right? So you're going to go. You're sent to do what? To bring forth fruit. We've been talking about it all day. If you didn't know that, you should have. Right? You're sent to bring forth fruit. You got saved to go through these steps for what? So that you could bring forth fruit. That's all. It's been the answer the whole time. God wants fruit in your life. Right? And then the very last one, he says that your fruit may remain. You know, you go from a servant to sin to somebody who has fruit that remains. It's easy to go out and share the gospel with somebody and, you know, give them this get into heaven free gospel, right? Sign me up, you know? All kinds of, you know, whatever, you know, mass salvation, and some of them are true. You know what's really good to see, though? Is when you see somebody, and I don't want to just pick somebody, but when you see somebody like Brady Barnes who comes in, lost as a ball of tall grass, he gets saved, he gets discipled. Well, he gets discipled partially, gets saved, gets the rest of the way discipled. Right? 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 And man gets in the ministry, going through HBI, and I could pick every one of you guys out and do this, but that's fruit that remains, right? And I'm like, yeah, right here, right? Pat me on the back, God. Not really, but the whole point is you want to have fruit that remains. God's got a progression right here, and He's like, hey, I want you to bear fruit. Here's how you do it. You start here, bam, 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 bam. Just like that. So, sorry, I went a couple minutes over. Let's pray, and we'll get out of here. If you guys got any questions, you have to ask me afterwards. So, let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just this morning in the Past Point class and just being able to hang out as a family, Lord. I pray that you would just use us as lights in a dark world this week, that you would just give us doors that you would open, that we would walk through. Lord, I pray that we would just be a friend of you, Lord, who eventually is just sent by you and has fruit that remains and everything in between, God. So, Lord, I pray that you would just use these 9 examples as just something that we can use to evaluate our lives, and not that we would be convicted, but, Lord, that we would be victorious in it. So, Lord, I pray that we do all have something to walk out of here to do and to hold on to this week. So, Lord, I pray you just use your word to change our lives. In Christ's name, amen.